Well, as you can see, this morning we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And so whenever we do that, we set our normal study aside. And so we are in John 12. But I told you what I was going to do this year is to take one of the devotions from Wisdom for Today, Chuck Smith's devotion book, and pull one out, one that maybe in the past month, you know, where just kind of I believe that the Lord may have put something on my heart from that particular one. And so today, I'm going to share with you, if you're doing Chuck's devotion book, if not, we have some next door, by the way, but it was on August 18th, and the title of it was called Set Apart, and it is out of John 17, and we'll end up in John 17 at some point. But I wanted to share with you how important it is for us to understand what that means. And it will lead us to the Lord's Supper so that we can share that together as a family today. So the word set apart, those two words, is kind of the definition of another word. So the word sanctify or consecrate, those are biblical words that we use, or even holy sometimes where it is used. It means literally anointed or set apart, or anointed and set apart. So that's where the title comes from. So Chuck even says it right in the first sentence. The word sanctify means to be set apart. And so it's a fascinating word when we think about it. So, however, in the Bible, when we use that word, it literally means to be set apart for the purpose of being used by God, or for God's purpose. So we, when we see that, or when we read the word, I'm going to show you some other ideas where it's non-human, where it is being set apart, where things have been set apart for the purpose of God. In the Hebrew, it is kadash, K-A-D-A-S-H, and so that means literally to be holy or to set apart. It means to consecrate. And so it's a beautiful word. And so I want to show you, I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey. And as I shared with you, when we do these, I'm going to share most of it is just coming from my heart to your heart, rather than kind of like the verse-by-verse kind of studies that we normally do. So do me a favor and turn to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28. And I want to show you why it is so very important for you and I to understand this particular word and why it is used, where it is used, a few places that it's used, and then what does that mean to us, and what in the world does it have to do with the Lord's Supper? I know I'm going to be in probably big trouble because I went down there last night not feeling good already, and the cooties were flying, let me tell you. So, are you in Exodus chapter 28? So I want to show you something that even the priest himself. So look at verse 31. Are you there? Exodus 28, verse 31. So these are the instructions given to Moses when they were building the tabernacle, the tent of God out in the wilderness. God has used Moses to deliver the Jews from Egypt. They went in as a family with Joseph and Jacob. They have now come out as a nation. They have multiplied into a nation of people. So Moses is the man that God chose to go in and get them, to bring them out. And here they find themselves across the Red Sea, and they are in, you know, this area where Mount Sinai is at. And so Moses has been given some instructions, because God wants to spend time with his people. So he wants to make a tent, and it's a beautiful tent, but that's all it is. And God's sending many messages, that's different Bible studies, but a temporary dwelling place where the presence of God will dwell amongst his people. He will be visible. You will be able to wake up in the morning and see this pillar of cloud in the daytime, God providing shade for his people. A pillar of fire. Almost, I'm envisioning it probably like a mushroom that provides warmth for the people at night, in the cold desert night, shade for them in the warmth of the daytime. And so people would be able to see, they would see that's the presence of God sitting upon that tent and on the Ark of the Covenant that's in the Holy of Holies in that tent. So God gave instructions on every piece of furniture, every piece of cloth, every tool that would be used for, you know, each particular area, for all the barbecue utensils for the sacrifice that they would have to provide, all of the different utensils that they would use to make the incense, and even the incense censers that they would burn the incense in. He gave them instructions on how to make the menorah, the only light that would be in the holy place, how to make the table of showbread. Each part and every piece of it, you guys, even though we look at it, we would say, wow, that must have been beautiful. Every piece, every color, every metal, all of it pointed to Jesus. It was all a picture of Jesus in the Exodus. And so I want to show you something here in verse 31. He says, you shall make the robe, and this is for the priest, this is for the high priest. You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. So it would look much like a poncho, only very, very beautiful poncho. It shall have a woven binding all around its opening, so kind of, you know, where his head went through, like the opening of a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all. So it'd be a pomegranate, then a bell. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate. Upon the hem of the robe all around. And here's verse 35. Check this out. And it shall be upon Aaron, who was the first high priest, when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. So this beautiful sound, music is always a sound of joy. So as he's in there serving, you'd be able to hear the bells tinkling, you know, bumping up against the pomegranates. And so it was a joy to serve the Lord, and God wanted to make sure that everybody knew that. You shall also make, look at this, verse 36. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet. Look what it says. Read it with me. Holiness to the Lord. So there we see in the very beginning, when God is beginning to use this word or this phrase even, and that word is a little bit different than Kadosh. This is Kodesh, basically the same meaning. And so here, the priest, you know, wore this golden crown on the top of his head, on all of this beautiful clothing. It was to be worn only by the high priest. Now, to be a priest, you had to be of the family of the tribe of Levi. But to be a priest, you had to be one of the sons of Aaron. So to work in the temple, you could be a Levite, so it would be a son of Levi. Aaron being one of the sons of Levi, that's where the priesthood would come from. So in order to be a part of any work that would take place in the temple, or to be a priest, as I've shared with you guys before, you have to have Levi genes. Okay, very good. So that's just so you understand that, all right? So now, the amazing part about this is God said, you know what? This beautiful clothing is going to distinguish you. It's going to set you apart. But I want to write it out. I want it to be on your head so that when people look at you, they see something. They see this Kodesh on the top of your head, holiness to the Lord. Literally, when Aaron or the succession of priests would put that on, what it meant was separated for God's use only. This, not just the garment that he was wearing, although, yes, it was to be separated and only worn by the priest. The priest, when he was wearing it, it sent the message, I am God's man. I am God's utensil. I am to be used for God's purpose in this particular design, and that is the only place that I am to be used. Set apart for the use of God. Does it make sense? So when everyone would look at him, they would see that on his head. So now then, turn with me to the right to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus 30. So just turn one chapter over. And I want to read something to you. You can follow it along. We're going to pick it up at verse 22. So Exodus 30, verse 22. You can follow along in whatever you're reading out of the New King James, probably most of you have. But I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living because it translates some of the different weights and all of that instead of saying shekels that really don't make sense to us. So I'll read it out of the New Living, but you can kind of follow along. So verse 22. So then the Lord said to Moses, collect choice spices, 12.5 pounds of pure myrrh, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6.25 pounds of fragrant calamus, 12.5 pounds of cassia, as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. Also, get 1 gallon of olive oil. Like a skilled incense maker, blend these ingredients to make a holy anointing oil. Use this sacred oil to anoint the tabernacle, the tent structure. You will anoint the Ark of the Covenant, the table and all of its utensils, the lampstand and all of its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering and all of its utensils, and the wash basin with its stand. Consecrate, or literally set them apart, that's what the word consecrate means, consecrate, set them apart to make them absolutely holy. After this, whatever touches them will also become holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons also, consecrating or setting them apart to serve me as priests. And say to the people of Israel, this anointing oil is reserved for me from generation to generation. So even this concoction of this oil was to be set apart for one purpose and one purpose only. And you say to the people, it is, verse 32, it must never be used to anoint anyone else, and you must never make any blend like it for yourself. It is holy, and you must treat it as holy. It is something that is to be set apart for God's purpose only. Verse 33, anyone who makes a blend like it or anoints someone other than the priest will be cut off from the community. So that's a pretty serious oil, wouldn't you agree? So now Aaron has this priestly garment. He puts on the golden crown that says, set apart for God's use only. Then they're given the instructions by God, and he says, listen, this beautiful tent, this beautiful tabernacle that I have made, I want you to now create this special oil that no one is to use it for anything else. So the oil is holy. It is to be set apart for the purpose of anointing the rest of the tabernacle. So they would take this oil and they went out and they put some on the tabernacle and they prayed something like, this tabernacle is now set apart to be used by and for God's own purpose. They went into the menorah, put some of the oil on that menorah. This menorah is to bring light into the tabernacle. It is to be used only for the tabernacle. And they went to each piece, even the little shovels that would pick up the ashes, they would anoint it. Even the little rake that they would use and the forks that they would use for the barbecue to flip the meat over on the altar itself. They anointed the four horns of the altar because as it was a square altar, it had these little horns that came off pointing north, east, west, north, and south. Anointed it so that when they were finished with this particular project, they would be able to stand back and they would say, every aspect of this tabernacle, every aspect of the dwelling place or the resting place of God was reserved for God's use only. It was set apart. It was consecrated. It was now something that God, or the people would look at and say, that is God's holy building. Every piece of it, every aspect of it, set apart, designed for God's use. Radical thing when you ponder on it. How much time did it take him to do all of that? So now, turn with me to the right to the book of Leviticus, chapter 8. So flip over to Leviticus, chapter 8, and let me show you something else. And you know what, you guys? Even places could become holy. Do you remember when God called Moses? And he said, Moses. And he says, Moses looks around and he sees a bush on fire. Remember that whole story? And he sees the bush burning, but it's not being consumed. Remember what God said to him? Take off your flip-flops. The place that you stand is what? Holy ground. This place is set apart for a meeting between me and you. This is the purpose of it. So you take your shoes off. This is a holy location right now. So God could even declare it without the anointing oil that it became a holy separated place. Well, of course he could because God was there. So now you're in Leviticus chapter 8, okay? Let's take a look at this. Tabernacle is finished. You know, the tent is done, and it will serve a few purposes. Number one, it's going to be a place to serve God and to serve the people. So they would be serving God in the holy place as well as the outer courts. It would be a place where the people's sin would be dealt with, and it would also be a place to meet with God. Moses would go there. Joshua would go there to meet with God. Even David would ultimately. So now chapter 8, look at verse 1 with me, okay? So, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, remember the oil that we just read about. He tells them to bring a bull as the sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So you see, it was also a meeting place where they would meet with God. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Verse 5. And Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and he washed them with water. And he put the tunic on him, girded him with the sash, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod, thing that he had the hole in the middle. And he girded him with the intricately woven band of the ephod, and with it he tied the ephod on him. Verse 8, then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and the Thummim. Those were the two, probably a black and a white rock that they would put into a little pouch that they would use to help make decisions. Black maybe no, white yes. Honestly, we really don't know exactly how it was used, but that's a general consensus. He put that in the breastplate. Then he put the turban on his head. Also on the turban, on its front, he put the golden plate, the holy crown. Remember what it said, holiness to the Lord, as the Lord God had commanded. And so then, verse 10, Moses took the anointing oil, and he anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, consecrating or setting them apart. He sprinkled some of them on the altar 7 times, anointed the altar and all of its utensils, and the laver, the place where they would wash, and its base to consecrate or to set them apart, anointed the altar and its utensils. Verse 12, and he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head, and he anointed him to consecrate him. So here now we see this all done. This became this, and he stood in front of all the people and said, this is now the purpose of the priesthood. They are here to minister to us. God gave the instructions. This tabernacle that we have built, God gave us the instructions, but now God wants us to set it apart. Human hands had touched it in its building. Human hands would continue to touch it. It would be a place where the sin of Israel was dealt with on a regular basis. So God says, I want this to be set apart. This is a special place. Every piece of furniture, every garment, the servants, the priests, all of them were to be set apart for that purpose. And oil, by the way, is always a symbol or a picture or a type of the Holy Spirit. So it was almost as if Aaron was being anointed. It was almost as if he was saying, the Holy Spirit is now coming upon you to set you apart for the work of ministry, to do what God has gifted and called you to do. Beautiful picture when you think about it. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there to watch this whole thing go down, to see this tent, you know, that Moses got the instructions suddenly set up. So, now then, if I can go ahead and have our communion team gather up at the back. Let me share something with you now from Chuck's devotion. From Chuck's devotions, and you can turn to John chapter 17. You know, some people ask, you know, we oftentimes think that the Lord's Prayer is over in Matthew 6. But if you really want to read the Lord's Prayer, you want to read John 17, because that's where Jesus was praying. And they recorded these words of him, probably anointed by the Spirit of God. So one of the things that Jesus prays is very fascinating. Look at verse 17. So John 17, 17, amongst all of the other things that he prayed. Well, verse 15, take a look at that. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, meaning his disciples. He says, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Look at verse 17. Sanctify, remember what sanctify means? To separate, to make them holy. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So as you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I have set myself apart, that they also may be set aside by the truth. So as Chuck shares in his devotion, he tells us that the temple vessels were all set apart to be used exclusively by God. Everything that we just talked about. So, but then now we can look at that and we can say, well, Rob, that's interesting. It would have been fascinating to see, and I get that, you know, but that was then, man. That's like 4,000 years ago. What about now? Well, it went from the tabernacle to the temple. The temple is no longer there. We talked about that on Thursday night. If you weren't here, you may want to listen to that CD or listen to it online. They are talking about building another temple. But then that temple's been destroyed. The reason why is because Jesus said, you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and I, the church, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ and we say, I invite you into my heart. When he says, I stand at the door and knock, and we open that door, he moves in. Just as God moved in to that tabernacle. And later on, he moved into the temple. Every aspect of the temple also went through this ritual sanctification, being set apart. And now for you and for me, we are the temple of God. We're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Is that crazy to think about? God chose to live. He wanted to be closer than a building. He wanted to be closer than a tent. He says, I want to move in. And in fact, that's the mystery of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't understand how it works, but I know that it does. We watched 600 guys walk into the room last night. And we watched 600 guys walk out. And of that 600, I can tell you, many of them, the guy they came in was not the guy that went out the door when they left. You could see it in their countenance. Their face was different. Why? Because the Holy Spirit moved into their life. Just as the oil was anointed to set them apart, so you and I have been filled with, anointed by the Holy Spirit. We also have been set apart for the use of the kingdom of God. Sometimes we think, well, what can I do? Listen, whatever it is that you can do, whatever it is that God has gifted you, one thing you must always remember, you were not saved for this world. You were saved to be not of this world. You and I have been saved and set apart, and God says, now, I want to use you for the kingdom's sake. In fact, that's what Chuck says here. Every time you turn on the television or the radio, or every time you step into the mall or the grocery store, seductions and enticements try to draw you after the things that God has declared to be impure. We need to partake of the Word of God. That's what Jesus said. Sanctify them by your Word. Set them apart by the Word. But the only way that we can understand the Word is through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the being set apart. But have you noticed that when you read the Word, suddenly you begin to notice that you're different, that you don't fit in certain areas of this world anymore. As we read the Word of God, it reveals to us the nature of God, and as through His Spirit, And then we begin to look around and we begin to see, well, I'm not comfortable with that any longer. I don't like this any longer. I can see that, wow, the attitude or the words that used to come out of my mouth, wow, that's not pleasing to the Lord. Do you realize what's happening? That's called sanctification. God is continuing to set us apart each and every day that we open up the Word to Him. We've been sanctified once and for all, but then we go through this crazy process of God saying, Rob, I'm going to cleanse you a little more. I'm going to cleanse you a little more today. I'm going to show you the way that you spoke to that person or the attitude or the way that you may have gossiped. Rob, each day I want to make you different and holy and set apart. Does that make sense? This is what is happening in our life. And so now then, I want you to understand something. And this is where it gets completely crazy, you guys. In Colossians, turn there with me while the gang gets set up here. So turn to the right to the book of Colossians, and we're almost done. I want to show you one more thing here before I open up one other place. So this is the second to the last thing I want to show you. So Colossians chapter 3, one of my very favorite verses. And I want this to be a great encouragement to you. Because you guys, we look around the world and it's very easy to get discouraged, isn't it? We look around at all the junk going on all around us. We oftentimes wonder what's going to happen to our country. We oftentimes look at, you know, we're being discouraged in every way we look. You get to the point where you don't even want to turn on the news anymore. It's so discouraging. I want to encourage you with one thing. Look at Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy. Right there, God declares His view of you and me. And in it is our theme for the day. So the word elect means chosen. Do you realize that God chose you? Now you may be thinking, well, actually, Rob, I chose Him. There was a day when I came and I said, I surrender to you, God. And so I chose to follow Him. Well, before you chose Him, He chose you. Well, how can that be? I don't know. Don't ask me. I just know that in God's foreknowledge, He knew that you were going to choose Him, so He chose you because He knew you were going to choose Him. Is that confusing? Try thinking about timelessness. I can't even figure that one out either, okay? But I want you to understand, God chose you to be a part of His team. Not like when we were kids, when you were the last one chosen, you're going, no, don't let me be the last one. God said, I pick you. I want you to be a part of my team, my kingdom, an eternal kingdom. Second thing, holy. That means I've chosen you and I've set you apart for my purposes. And the word beloved, you can circle that and write in there, dearly loved. You realize God chose you, He has set you apart, and the reason why is because He dearly loves you guys. He dearly loves us. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, that's exactly what this is all about. So, if I can have the communion team come out. So I need to ask you a question. Pray with me first, okay? Jesus, we want to give you our hearts this morning. And I pray, Lord, for everyone in this room. I don't know them all. But if you are here this morning and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you can hear that knocking on your door, the door of your heart, saying, open the door. Let me come in. I want to forgive you of your sin. I want to fill you with love. I want to open your eyes. I want to anoint you and set you apart. I want you to be on my team. If you have never made that decision, right where you're sitting, it's a very simple process. All you have to do is say, Jesus, you pray this prayer right now with me. Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I am tired of being lonely. I am tired of being discouraged. I'm tired of carrying the load of my sin and the guilt of it all. And so I give you my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Maybe you're here and, like me, you said that prayer at one point in your life, but then you took a detour and you stayed on that detour, maybe you're on that detour this morning, and you would tell me, if I were to say to you, are you in the place where you once were when you first gave your life to Jesus? Or would you tell me, I've lost that joy that I once had. I've lost that fire and that zeal that I once had. I've allowed other things to come in between me and the Lord and my relationship with Him. I went off on a 5-year journey that I wish I could get back. If that is you this morning, why not recommit your life to Jesus this morning? You guys, we're living in crazy times. This is not a time to be living out in the pig pen. Right where you're sitting, just say, Jesus, I realize I'm not where I once was. I want to recommit my heart to you. Take me back. For the rest of us, may we see this as an amazing opportunity to draw close to the Lord, to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done on my behalf. And so, Jesus, we do. We thank you that you loved us so much that you set yourself apart. You set us apart. You prayed that we would be. So here we are, Lord. Reveal yourself to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.